Good morning.
Morning.
It's always a joy to come and minister God's word. We're going to look at Acts chapter 12. We know that there is a physical world and there is also a spiritual world. A physical dimension and also a spiritual dimension. In the heavenly realm, the spiritual world, we see that there are a clash of two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. The kingdom of light that represents love, forgiveness, freedom, and life. And then you have the kingdom of darkness that represents brokenness, bondage, sin, and death. They are at war. They are at war, and we can see this thing happening in the heavenly realm, taking place where? In the physical earth that we are living in our world, since the fall of Adam and Eve. And this crash of the two kingdoms will only come to an end with the return of Jesus Christ. When you are at my age, our prayer is, come, Lord Jesus, come. We want Jesus to come back soon. But God knows when he is coming back. So in these two kingdoms that are crashing, I want you to know the kingdom of God is an advancing kingdom. It's an increasing kingdom and a progressing kingdom. And the kingdom of God is taking territories, filling the whole earth with the glory of God. That's what the Bible says in Isaiah 60. The earth will be filled with the glory of God. So how is the earth filled with the glory of God? By the proclamation of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And by glory's bearers. Who is the glory bearers? Glory bearers are disciples of Jesus Christ. That wherever you go, wherever God has placed you, in your workplace, in the school, in the uni, anywhere among your friends, wherever God has placed you, you are a glory bearer that carry the glory of God. This treasure of God is in this earthen vessel, and God desires that we shine forth his glory. This is the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of Satan, the devil kingdom, is reducing, decreasing, and diminishing. Why is it possible? It's because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Through Christ's death and resurrection, he destroyed the work of Satan. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. But the Son of God came to destroy the work of the devil. And not only he destroyed the work of the devil, but he also disarmed. He disarmed Satan with all our debt canceled at the cross by Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 to verse 15. He, Christ, canceled the record of charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. So if Christ had taken all our debt, means we are what? We are forgiven. We are free. There is no condemnation. The Bible tells us that there is no condemnation in Romans chapter 8 to those who are in Christ Jesus. The only reason you feel condemned is because you allow the devil to tell lies and you experience what we call self-condemnation. You condemn yourself to be the lie of the devil. But as far as the Bible says, Jesus Christ has disarmed the spiritual rulers and authority. He has shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So when the Bible talks that God has disarmed Satan, he means this word. He has stripped him. You know what is to be stripped? To be stripped is to be what? Is to be naked. That's what has happened. When you look at what took place in Jesus' life, in the physical, you see Jesus was stripped of his clothing. He was put to shame at the judgment seat. But something is taking in the reverse side. What is happening in the physical, something is happening in the spiritual, in the heavenly realm. And what is happening in the heavenly realm? Satan is being stripped. He is being shamed because the death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ bring this stripping, this alarming, and this alarming and this shaming of Satan and his ruler. Say amen to that. Therefore, as Christian, we fight from the position of victory. Say amen. We don't fight for victory. The victory is already won at Calvary when Jesus said, "It is finished." And when Jesus said, "It is finished," it stands finished and is always and completely finished. Nothing can be added or have to be added to the finished work of Jesus Christ. Nothing. All I have to do is I live by faith in what Jesus Christ had done for me. So you see, in Acts chapter 12, there is power that is at work. You see the power of the two kingdoms being crushed. The two kingdoms, the two power that is at work. We see number one, the power of Satan from verse 1 to verse 4. Now, you know, the Bible tells us that Satan's power is limited, is restricted, and is temporary. And why is it so? It's because of Jesus Christ. And one day, the rule that Satan has on this earth will come to an end. He is called what? Satan is called the God of this age. When you use the Bible, this age means there is a time, there is a period, there is a frame of time where it will come to an end. And you will come to an end with the return of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible tells us that the devil knows that his time is short in Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. And so he is working very hard. So how does Satan influence people? How does he work? He works by influencing their what? Their thoughts. By influencing human minds with evil ideas, evil desire, evil thoughts, falsehood, lies, and deception. Wonder sometimes you think, why all of a sudden I'm thinking of this thing? Have you ever experienced that? Thoughts that come, wrong thoughts? Hey, what is happening? This is the tactic of Satan. The tactic of Satan is sow a thought, reap an action. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, to guard our mind more than anything, you guard, protect your mind, for life flows from it. Remember, you cannot stop the bird from flying over your head, but you can stop the bird from pooing on your head. Amen. And you can definitely stop the bird from building a nest on your head. Jesus tells us that Satan, the devil, is the thief. From John chapter 10, verse 10. What does the thief do? He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And you see this in Herod's family tree. Herod, Agape, in this verse 1. His grandfather Herod the Great and his uncle Herod Antipas, they were all murderers. And how did it happen? Satan sowed a thought in their head and they carried out the action and they became murderers. You know, his grandfather Herod the Great, he killed one of his wives, his own mother, and three of his own sons. The last one was 5 days before his own death. When the wise man came to him and said, "There is a Messiah being born," he told the wise man, "When you find where the Messiah is, come and tell me so I may go and worship the Messiah." But when the wise man did not come back, what he did? He killed 144,000 children from 2 years and below in Bethlehem. His grandfather was a murderer. His uncle, Herod Antipas, also was a murderer. He beheaded John the Baptist because he condemned his adulterous relationship with Herodias, the wife of his half-brother. So like his grandfather, like his uncle, Herod, King Herod in this verse, was also like a murderer. He stretched out his hand on James, and when he sees that he pleases the people, he arrests Peter and throw him in jail with the intention, that when the time comes, he will also execute Peter. We know that James was executed. I asked a question last Sunday. God, who delivered Peter, could not he also deliver James? I'm sure he could. But he allowed James, the first apostle, to die with a sword, the only apostle whose death was recorded in the New Testament. James died, executed with a sword. Does it surprise God? Does it shock God? I want you to know, nothing happened without the knowledge of God. Our God is all-knowing. We may be shocked, we may be surprised, but not God. Because Jesus asked these two brothers, James and John, who desire to sit on his left and on his right, Jesus asked them, are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Their reply was, yes, we can. We want to. We are able. And Jesus said, indeed, you will. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 22 to verse 23. My question to you that last Sunday was, can you accept the sovereignty of God? When we do not understand, when things does not make sense, I mean, we see evil people prosper and they live long. Good people suffer and they die. You know, can we accept the sovereignty of God? John Piper quotes this, God's sovereignty is his right and power to do all that he decides to do. This is God. And we need, human, need to come to a place to recognize he is God. So let God be what? Be God. You see, we live in a time now where our humanistic mind has become so educated and so arrogant that we want to question God. We want to point our finger to God. And when we do not understand, we ask God, explain why. We shouted, why? And it goes all the way up there. And the reply come back is, why not? He is God. He is God. And we need to let God be God. You see, before God, as the Bible says, who are we? We are clay. And who is he? He is the potter. Can the clay dictate to the potter what to do? The clay has no say in what the potter wants to do with the clay, with the lump of clay. So, when we do not understand, we may be tempted to think that we know best. But remember the word of Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 to verse 9. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, said the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And I'm telling you, after 50 over years with Jesus Christ, there are things that I don't understand. I've asked him, but he had not replied me. But one thing I know, when I don't understand, and when things does not make sense, it is time that I exercise my faith and my trust in an all-wise, all-knowing, an all-loving God who loves me and cares about me. I know He has my best interest, and He has given me this ever-assuring promise found in Romans chapter 8, verse 27 to verse 28. He knows us far better than we know ourselves. Say amen today. I used to have my mom say this to me. I know how many worms are in you. My mom can say, I know how many worms are in you. I'm telling you, God is far, far greater than my mom. He knows me better than I know myself. You know? And that's why we can be so sure that every details of our life, every details, if He numbers my hair, He knows who I am and what I am when I was in my mother womb, when I was a seed growing in my mother womb, and He can see the bones being formed. He can see the life being formed in the womb. This God say, I know everything. I know every details of your life, of, you know, and every details of our life for the love of God is worked out into something good. Say amen. Have this confidence. God is good. It shall always be what? Good. I may not see it now, but I know it will always be good. Then we see that there is now power that is at work in our world. The power of God. The power of God. And our God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-present. We see the power of God in the power of prayer. Verse 15 to verse 19. What was King Herod's intention? King Herod's intention was this. When the Passover is over, he will bring Peter out and have him executed. So Peter was thrown in prison. There was 16 well-trained soldiers, four for each watch, two by his side, two at the prison door. The story of Peter would have ended if it's not because of this thing, this important thing, that God has given to every believer and have given to the church, and that is called prayer. Prayer. If it's not because of the power of God demonstrated in the power of prayer, the Bible tells us the church prayed, but constant prayer was offered to God by the church. That the church prayed. I want you to realize this. It was the prayer that became the turning point of this chapter. Never underestimate the power of prayer. The power of praying. When the church pray, when a parent pray, when a spouse pray, when a believer pray, never underestimate, because there is power. As James tells us, the earnest prayer of a righteous man. Who is righteous? We are only righteous because of Jesus Christ. His righteousness imputed into us. The prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was as human as we are. He has his up, he has his down. He has his weakness. He's just like us. But yet, when he prayed earnestly, no rain for 3.5 years. When he prayed, let rain come, rain came. Earnest prayer of a righteous man can change the world. How much more when the church earnestly pray? We saw the power of God last Sunday when the whole church turned to pray for our dear Sister Celia. How are you, Sister Celia? She is here today. I'm sure she shocked all of us. And I was shocked. When I saw that, the thing that freshed my mind, when I was an elder in the church at Nolamara, the senior pastor was preaching. A Burmese brother, about 60 years old, went down on the floor. He was not slain by the spirit. He just went down on the floor. We have to call an ambulance. And the next day when I go and visit him, he never recovered. He went to be with the Lord. So when I saw Sister Celia down, that thing just freshed my mind. I said, oh God, not when I'm preaching. But I thank God that our God is a great God. Our God is a miracle God. Those who went near her would say that her pulse was so low. Her heartbeat was so low. But it was prayer. It was prayer that began to increase the heartbeat, increase the blood pressure. I'm telling you, church, God has given us a tool. The greatest tool that we have is prayer and the word. And these are the two things that the church is very weak in. Do you realize that? But these are the tools that God has given us. And so the church needs to learn that God answers prayer. Amen? Now my question to you, on the case of Peter, because God answered prayer, he has all the power to do for Peter. Should God do everything for Peter? That means God, who has sent his angel, broke those chains, carry Peter, and fly him to the door of those Christians praying for him. But yet, we see that Peter has to get himself up. He has to put his sandal, he has to wear his clothing, and he has to follow the angel. But what Peter could not do, he could not break the chains. He could not open prison doors, you know, and prison gates. What he could not do, God will do. Sometimes we pray, we leave everything to God, but there are things that we must do and we can do. So I'm encouraging you, bring your needs to God in prayer. God hears and answers prayer. Live it with God, but do what you can do. Like what? God, I want to have a good result for my examination, Lord. I'm praying for you. Help me, God. Well, you need to pray and you also need to study hard. God, I'm looking for a job, Lord. I'm praying for a job. Yeah, good to pray, but you also need to apply. You also need to prepare. You also need to research about the company before you go to the interview. You know, and this is a classic one. I want my husband to change. Don't put up your hand. I want my husband to change. Pray. Do your part by being a good wife. And how do you be a good wife? Cook his favorite food. The way to a man is his stomach. I know that. And I'm telling you, your husband has been pampered by the mother. Now, the mother is not there to pamper him. You need to pamper him. You need to praise him. You do your part, and God will do the part that you cannot do. And that's what? Change him. How about those who are praying for their wife to change? Pray, of course, but do your part. Husband, do your part. Buy her flower. Don't wait for Valentine's Day. When you feel inspired, just go and buy. And you are cheapskate, I have a better way for you. Wash plate then. Wash the plate. You know, bring her out. And that's the part you can do. And what you cannot do, God will do. Change her. But the thing that surprised me in Acts, in this time when they pray, They all earnestly pray. When Peter was at the door, they were shocked. You know, they wonder, is this so? When the servant came and said, "It is Peter," they didn't believe. And in the end, they were amazed that our prayer has been answered. Have you ever felt that way before? It's so easy to pray mechanical prayer, to do the duty. But God wants us to pray in faith, pray believing, not doubting, because He desires to answer our prayer. And our answer to breakthrough and miracles is only a prayer away. Jesus commands us to pray always. Jesus commands us to tap into the power of prayer. He said in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, "Men ought to pray and not to faint, lose heart, or turn coward." Why? Why Jesus said, keep on praying? Because you have a defeated enemy, Satan, the devil, and he will not give up on you. He's constantly watching you with fault-finding eyes of accusation. He is like a roaring lion prowling and seeking to devour you. So Jesus said, you ought to pray. See, Satan, the devil, is likened Pharaoh of Egypt in the Old Testament. He will not give up on Moses and the children of Israel even after God crush him with his mighty hand. He will not give up. Next PowerPoint. He will not give up. Listen to what Pharaoh say in Exodus. Yeah? No? Backward? Before that? Next one? Is there no? Next one? Oh, and after that? Oh, one thing is missing there. This is what Pharaoh said in Exodus chapter 15. "I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword, my hand will destroy them." This is what the enemy wants to do. This is what Satan's purpose is. Satan's purpose is to overtake you, to pursue you, to plunge everything that you enjoy and that you have, to disturb your peace of mind, the stability of your family, your health, and your wealth. This is what Satan does. That's why Jesus said, pray. Don't stop praying. To overcome Satan and his work, we must use the power of what? The power of prayer. And the power of prayer is given to us to have the authority to bind and to loose. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. "Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." God, I do not permit Satan and his foe to touch my family, to touch my life, to touch the people who I love, to touch the things that I have. God, I bind every work of the enemy. That's the power that God has given to you. But that power to bind and to loose is with what? You use it with what? With your what? With your mouth. With your mouth. Two things Satan does. When he put doubts in here, the mouth tends to what? Speak. You realize that? When he put fear in here, the mouth tends to what? Shut up. So he comes and he wants to attack us. And the Bible says God has given us the power of prayer, the power to bind and to loose. So use your mouth. Use your mouth to bind the work of Satan and lose the protection of God over your family, over your life. The early church has no political power. They have no people to pull string for them. They only have one thing, connection to the vertical zone, to the vertical dimension, to the throne room of God. They only have God. They come to the throne of grace. They were praying people, and they know that only God could solve their problem. So they come to God, they bring their problem to God, and they live it with God because they know God will answer their prayer. God is on the throne. He sees, He knows, He hears. Bring your needs, your requests, your petition to His throne of grace and experience the power of God in the power of prayer. So we see the power of God released through the power of prayer. Now we see the next area where the power of God is released. The power of God is seen in the power of God's judgment. If we read Acts chapter 12, and then the story ends, Peter was delivered from prison, full stop, end. It will be incomplete. Every good story must have a good what? Every good story must have good what? Ending. And in the ending, the good must always trump over what? Evil. I don't know about you. In my childhood time, when you watch a movie, the hero always finish winning. You realize that? And everybody clap when the hero comes in riding on his horse, helping people, you know. And good seems to trump over evil. But today, some of these movies you see, the good one dies. But I want you to know, when I see a movie and good does not trump over evil, I feel cheated. How about you? And I want a refund. I want my money back. You know, because the final story in Revelation is the same. Good trumps over what? Evil. That God's people, those who trust in Jesus, is with Him forever, and the devil and his foe are destroyed. But we still have people like King Herod, like his grandfather and like his uncle, you know, who thinks that they can do evil and get away with it. We see that happening all the time. But I know one thing, the face of God is against them that do evil. And I know because sometimes I ask God, why take so long? Have you ever asked God that? Why take so long? But be assured, the judge of the earth will do what is right. And one day, it will be payday. For every evil man, it can be now, tomorrow, or when one meets his or her maker. Revelation chapter 6, verse 7 tells us, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you planted. King Herod, his cup of iniquity was filling, till it became filled. It became full and it overflowed. Where enough is enough. See, the long-suffering of God, is to lead men to what? To repentance. That's what the Bible says. But people take the long-suffering of God as, well, God don't care, so I can continue. So this is what happened to King Herod. There's a cup of iniquity in his life, and the cup keep on filling till it's overflow, where God said, enough, and it's enough. This is what happened to Herod in this chapter. The people of Tyre and Sidon, they need provision from him, but he don't treat them well. So they play on his ego. When Herod gave a speech one day, they said that your voice is not like a man. Your voice is like God. Oh, Herod enjoyed it. He loved every minute of it. Herod did not give glory to God. It was pride. It was idolatry. And God hates pride and idolatry. And he will not allow anyone to steal any glory from him. The Lord said, I am the Lord. That's my name. And my glory I will not give to another. God punishment cannot be avoided. Herod was struck with worms because his cup overflowed. He never gave glory to God. He steal what belongs to God. And he was struck with worms. Instead of Peter being killed by Herod, it was Herod who was killed by Peter God. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 8. The righteous is delivered from trouble, but the wicked, what? Take his place. We see in human history, we see wicked and evil people like Nero, Hitler, Satan, Amin, and others. They believe and think they can escape God's judgment. But there is a day of reckoning for all men created in the image of God. There's a day of judgment. They can curse God, reject God, do and live as if God do not exist. And they can think and believe they will get away with anything, everything, and all things. But that day will come, as stated in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30 and 31. For we know the one who say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back. He also say, the Lord will judge his own people. It is a terrible thing to fall into the hand of the living God. What a way to die for Herod. Josephus, a historian, wrote that Herod lingered on for 5 days in terrible pain till he died. 5 days, worms were eating him bit by bit, and he was in pain till he died. I don't know about you. I have got toothache before. How many of you got toothache before? Come on, put it up. You know how terrible is toothache? To have toothache, oh, you think the end of the world. But here is a man, eaten by worm, bit by bit, for 5 days till he died. What a terrible way to die. When we think of Herod, it's a warning to us never to do evil. And we know as Christians, we must never do evil, say amen. Evil is the character of the devil, but good is the character of God. Returning evil for evil, good for good, is the way most people live. But we are called to walk in the fruit of the Spirit and to be like Christ. Bless those who curse you. Bless and do not curse. That's how we ought to live. Because we need to look. God, injustice has been done to me. People have done wrong to me. But God, I'm looking to you. You are the judge. I'm not going to be consumed by anger. I'm not going to be consumed by hatred. Say amen to that. Because it's so easy for us to be consumed. Why God? Why you allow such things to happen? There are two P's that are very important if you want to live a victorious Christian life. The two P's. One is praise. No matter what, praise God. Second P that is very important is no matter what, pray. The two P's. If you want to live a happy, victorious Christian life. God, I don't understand. But I know one thing. I know the power of your judgment. That one day you say, enough is enough. And when you step in, may God have mercy on those that does evil. The last point, the power of God's hand. Verse 24 to verse 25. The power of God's hand. The power of God's hand is sin. The power of God is seen in the power of his hand. All was not lost. The death of James the arrest of Peter did not stop the church. What a contrast. Herod eaten by worms, but the word of God grew and multiplied. Verse 24. Herod died a terrible death, but the church marched on. The church lives on from strength to strength. The word of Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates and the power of hell will not conquer it. The early church prayed and never retreat or surrender. They prayed and saw the power of God delivering Peter from prison. They saw the power of God's hand in judgment over Herod, and the power of God's hand to send Barnabas and Saul to Jerusalem to provide famine relief to the Jerusalem church. The power of God's hand is seen in His protection, seen in His presence, and seen in His providence. When you look at Acts chapter 12, it looks as if the church is losing the battle. The Herod seems to be in control and winning. By the end of the chapter, Herod is dead. But the church, much stronger, much alive, is growing rapidly with the unstoppable and unlimited power of God. What is the secret of the church? The church secret is the church learn to tap and to release the power of God over the limited, restricted, and temporary power of Satan. God is on the throne. He works when you pray, when others pray, when the church pray, and Satan trembles when he see the weakest believer. Even a young believer who just said, Jesus, come into my heart. Just a newborn baby. Satan trembles. When you pray to God, that's the power God has given to you. Years later, Peter wrote his epistle, trying to encourage Christians who was going through trials and difficult time. And Peter recalled his experience in Acts chapter 12. And he quote from Psalm 34, verse 15 to verse 16. And it's found in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. He said this, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous." God's eyes are over His people, are over those who live righteously. And His ears are open to their prayer, because Peter knows when he was in prison, the church prayed earnestly. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Acts chapter 12. God say, enough is enough for Herod, and he died. We are God's people, the blessed people of the living God. We have nothing to fear. He has given us all the resources that we need to live for Him in this world. And we should live happy and smiling, amen. Like a winner, knowing that God is with us. Shall we pray? This morning, whatever you are going through, the power of God is released to the power of prayer. Whether it's protection, whether it's providence, whether it is present, the power of God is released to the prayer of his people. You need to see the power of God's hand over your life, over your situation. I want you to know, God is here. You are not alone. Lift up your hand to him right now. Whatever is your need, lift your hand to him and say, God, I need you. I need the power of your hand. I need to experience the power of judgment. Lord, there are people who have done wrong to me. But Lord, I'm going to let go because I believe vengeance belongs to you. That you are the Lord who say you will pay them. And so, Lord, I want to live my life free from anger, from unforgiveness. I just want to move on as your child. My friend, my brother and my sister, the power of God is seen in prayer, seen in his judgment, seen in his hand. Father, I pray right now for the hand raised to you. You make each one of them. You know where they are before you, God. You know they're up and down. You know what is before them. Lord, I pray right now that the power of God be released over their life, that they will be able to say, in Christ, I'm an overcomer. In Christ, I am victorious. In Christ, I have provision. In Christ, I have protection. In Christ, I have presence of God. That we are your people. That you have made us head and not tail. You have made us on top and not beneath, God. We come against every work of the enemy, God. Every scheme, every tactics of the enemy. We bind in the name of Jesus. We release your heavenly host, God, over your people, Lord. For you will fight for your people. You will deliver your people. Your power will be strong over your people. And your people, God, will be able to rise up and say, in him I reign. Lord, only you can do it. No one except you. For as we pray, we know it will come to pass. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.